of David's experience, he understands the next step. He follows the declaration from the Lord about being his the Lord being his shepherd. And then he says, I shall not want. Because God is such a good shepherd, he takes care of all of my needs. He makes sure that I have plenty to eat, plenty of good water to drink. I don't have to worry about wandering off. If I'm keeping my eyes on him and he is watching me, I'm following his cues, I'm not going to get lost. I know that even though Satan is a tempter of the brethren, that God is watching out for me. God only allows what he allows. Satan doesn't have free reign, free rule in my life. He even restores the upside down places in my soul. According to verse 4, he is with me in the valley of the shadow of death. There is nowhere that I can go to escape the gaze of my shepherd. He's preparing good things for me. He is leading me to experiences and places of peace. He is anointing me with his goodness, and his mercy will be with me not only now but throughout eternity. So if you are a believer this morning, we are on a walk with our shepherd. How are we doing with that walk? Are we listening to his voice? Are we obeying his commands? Hey, don't go over there. Stay on this path right here. I know what's best for you. The Lord God is a good shepherd. Therefore, I can be at peace because of his presence in my life. If you are a believer this morning and you don't feel at peace, can I challenge you to look at who is leading your life? Is it myself? Is it other people? Or is he leading me? When God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, our good shepherd arrived on scene. And Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6 to start off with. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls them his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of stranger. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Do you know why they didn't understand? Because they were not his sheep. The verse has said, my sheep know my voice. How are sheep characterized? We just saw a video about that a moment ago. How are sheep characterized? Are they dim? Are they, I won't say that. They're dumb, right? Sheep are dumb. They don't know what is best for them. There are some animals, if you go to a farm, that are pretty smart. Sheep are not one of them. Many scholars would say that if sheep had not been domesticated, that they may be extinct by now, because they have no good thoughts for themselves. They tend to wander. They tend to do the worst thing they can for themselves. Does that sound like anyone? Do we tend to wander? Do we tend to gravitate to the worst possible thing? The answer is yes. In our depraved nature, we do. I want to show you a short clip. Now watch.
С этой стороны, против солнца. Давай, кто кого забудет?
Now, if that is not a good picture of us, I don't know what else is. How many times do we get in that process that we talked about last week of sin, repent, repeat? We saw last week in John 10 that God came, Jesus came, to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. Our good shepherd has no problem pulling us out of a hole. But we should listen, we should heed his warning and not run right back to that same hole and get caught again. Living an abundant life is not sin, confess, repeat. It is sin, confess, move on to the next thing that God has for us. Sheep are dumb, as illustrated here in this picture. I don't know what he's looking to find in there, but he got stuck. Sheep left to their own can't care for themselves. This sheep had, like they said, 16 wool sweaters worth of wool on him. Left much longer, he would have perished, right? Not being able to walk, not being able to feed himself, not being able to get the water because of all the encumbrances that the sheep has around him. But our good shepherd makes sure that we stay trimmed. He trims our hooves, he trims our wool so that we can be mobile. He trims off that sin that can beset us. He wants to make sure that we are healthy and happy. If we assess ourselves, we can see how that we can be like sheep in many areas of our life. We can be dense. We can make the same mistakes over and over. We wander off course. We need so much attention and care that Jesus is the only good shepherd that we can trust. Sometimes we make choices that we know are wrong, but we do them anyway. Do you know how sheep thrive or when they thrive? They thrive when they have a good shepherd. Believer, if we feel like we are languishing in our Christian walk, can we ask, do I have a good relationship with my shepherd? Am I heeding his call? Am I listening to his voice? Am I following him where he goes? Or am I doing my own thing, hoping that my shepherd will run after me and rescue me? When the shepherd is with his sheep, he builds trust with them in such a way that as soon as the shepherd speaks, the sheep hear and understand and know it is the good shepherd. The reason the good shepherd is good is he takes care of all of the sheep inadequacies, and he leads them in the right path. What can we take away from that? Is Jesus is the answer for every need that we have in life. There is no other way. There is no other door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Psalms 23 Verse 1, part B says, I shall not want. I shall not want because I'm being so well taken care for that I will not need to look elsewhere for my joy, for my contentment. Let's keep looking down in our text. Verse 7, John chapter 10. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and find pasture. The thief comes in only to steal and kill and destroy." So Jesus said that he is the door. There is no other way to God except for Jesus Christ. Now, there are going to be other people who come by and say, "I am the way," or "There are multiple doors. Just choose one." If you hear that, can I say run? That is not what the Word of God says. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the ones who come and say, "Hey, there are other doors," have been enlisted by Satan. They have come to steal, to kill, and destroy. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Before we read this, let's go back to our text, John chapter 10. "I came that they may have life and they may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as my Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And we're going to see in Isaiah chapter 53 the prophecy about Jesus Christ coming to lay down his life for his sheep. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse 4. And it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace." How did we receive peace? Through Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, his chastisement. "And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth." This passage shows us that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd because he was willing to lay his life down for you and I. This passage is a passage that leads us to peace for those who find themselves lost, in trouble, on their own, and outside of what God created them to be. God's plan as our good shepherd was to lead us, to care for us, and protect us through the shepherd. As we wrap up, let's go back to Psalms chapter 23. Two things I want to point out, and we're going to close. Psalms chapter 23, and let's look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So I did a little bit of a study on sheep to find more out about them. First of all, I learned that they will not lie down when they are hungry. If they are hungry, they will stay standing. They will continue to forage for food. I read that there are at least 50 foods that are poisonous to sheep, and many of them are found commonly in nature. I had a list. I don't know what to do with it. One was holly that came to my mind. Another was kale, acorns, milkweed, English ivy, horse nettles, buttercups, and holly. So there are many things that sheep might want to do to fill themselves that would be bad for them, correct? But Jesus, our good shepherd, and we as his sheep, he leads us and makes me lie down, which says that I am full, I am content, I am looking for nothing else. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He knows exactly where I need to be. He leaves me there, and he settles me there because I am content, have been contented in him. So by nature, sheep are unsettled, they're skittish, they're nervous. A sheep will only lie down when they have a full belly, when they feel like their enemies are kept at bay and the shepherd is watching over them. If sheep are fearful, or they're fighting with the other sheep, or dealing with pests, they will not lie down. When sheep are near running water, they will not drink from running water. It has to be still. It has to be calm. What do you think will happen if a sheep falls in water? Especially the sheep that we saw just a minute ago. We'll just call him Hefty. He would drown. So they will only drink water when, in verse 2, we see here that he leads me beside still waters. He knows exactly what I need. I even read some accounts where shepherds would dam up streams so the water would pool up and be still so the sheep can get what they needed. Doesn't God do that in our lives too? There are times when I've seen God put a hedge of protection around me to dam things up in my life so things would slow down just a little bit so I can catch my breath. Have you felt that too? Because he knows our frame. He knows we are but dust. He knows we're sheep. And although we think we're lion, many times we are but sheep. Do you notice that it didn't say that he drives his sheep? The Bible says that he leads his sheep. How do you think the sheep would react to a taskmaster? Someone with a whip behind them. I don't know about you, but I've been in churches like that. I've sat under teaching and preaching like that where the pastor felt like he had to drive the people. Doesn't end well. The Bible says our good shepherd leads us. He shows us the way to go. He leads us in such a way that he left glory, came down to earth, and showed us the way to live the Christian life. He didn't stay up there in heaven and throw down lightning bolts at us and to steer us the right way. He came down and demonstrated to us. He is a good shepherd. Philip Keller was an East African shepherd with a lifetime of experience in the shepherding field. And he came to realize how important the shepherd-to-sheep relationship was. He said, in the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do, and this applied day and night. And that same principle is true about you and me. If we feel like we are unsettled or not at peace, can we ask ourselves, are we within the gaze of the shepherd? Are we looking to him? Have we wandered off from him? Or are we looking at him for our peace? Are we looking at him for our protection? The presence of Jesus Christ in our life has the same effect as a shepherd with his sheep. He can bring us confidence that it is okay to lie down and to rest because he is taking care of us. Maybe that is what Jesus wants to remind us of today. Maybe we need a more intimate relationship with him. Maybe we need to lie down and to rest. I know there's a kind of a works-based idea that if I am a happy and fruitful Christian, then I always have to be busy. And while there is some truth to that, we should be bearing fruit, we should be serving our Savior and our Master, there is a time where it is okay to take a rest, to take a break, to say no on occasion. I think I've told you this before. I know I've said it individually. Sometimes the healthiest thing that we can do as a Christian is say no. Say no to the next event that we have at church. Now, I'm not saying don't come to church, don't be a part of us. But I'm saying if that is our God versus serving God himself, then that can be a problem. I remember growing up in church, and my dad was a pastor. It was Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, oftentimes fellowship after church, Wednesday night, Thursday night visitation, and then whatever other activities the church had planned. And while it is wonderful, isn't it, to be around fellow believers? It is. You can say yes. It's wonderful. We should not let the programs be more important than our relationship with Jesus Christ. And sometimes the best thing that we can do is shepherd our family. Sometimes the best that we can do is say, you know, I'm already doing three things within the church. I don't need a fourth. And that's hard to do in a smaller church, isn't it? Don't we feel like the bad guy? If the pastor says, hey, would you consider doing this? I was so encouraged about, oh, I guess it was a couple years ago. I asked someone in the church to consider doing something, and they said no. And I was glad. I was glad that someone felt so comfortable with me and with other people around them, they could say no. Now, about a year later, they ended up doing something very, very similar. And I thought that was interesting. But it was not the right time in their life for that. I think it's wonderful. Jesus is not going to lead you. He's not going to drive you, and the church shouldn't do that either. It shouldn't be my role, and it shouldn't be the deacon's role or a trustee's role to drive us to where they think we should go. The under-shepherd should be looking at the shepherd. How do we lead people? We're going to lead people just as Jesus Christ led. Lovingly, truthfully, and consistently. So in closing, I want to remind us that Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the door. He is the only way to peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others. He is present with us. He has sent his Holy Spirit to live in our hearts, to guide us. He has given us his word. He has given us each other. He is present with us and he is near us. And we can count on him to lead us to those green pastures. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your great sacrifice for us. That you loved us so much that you came down from heaven, down from glory, to be like one of us, to be human, to be made of flesh or wrapped in flesh. And you came to tabernacle with us, to live with us, not to drive us, but to lead us into righteousness, Lord. You came to be a servant and to sacrificially lay down your life. Lord, I will pray, Lord, that if there be anyone here who has not made the decision, Lord, to make you their shepherd, Lord, their guide, their protector, Lord, I pray that that decision would be made today. Lord, I pray that as believers, we would remember, Lord, that you are good. Lord, we have tasted, we have seen, we can reflect that you have always been good. And Lord, that goodness should help us, Lord, in future decisions. Lord, when we are tempted to wander, when we are tempted to go astray and to act like sheep, I pray, Lord, that we would dive into your word, that we would listen to the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord, that we would fix our gaze solely on you as the only good thing that we have. Lord, everything else that we have good comes directly from your hand. Lord, I'm picturing a shepherd now feeding his sheep, Lord, from his hand. And Lord, the sheep doesn't fear, comes right up, comes boldly, even through a sheep's character, Lord, that is out of character. Lord, I pray that we would come to you, Lord, for our only source of nourishment, only source of protection, our only source of good. I pray, Lord, that we would watch out for those who say there are other ways. Lord, that we would know that they come from Satan, Lord. He comes to seek, to kill, to steal, and destroy. Lord, we thank you that we have peace, Lord, with God. Lord, we do not suffer judgment because you have been our atonement. Lord, we have peace with ourselves. Lord, we have peace with one another only through you. I pray, Lord, that your word would penetrate our heart this morning, that would make us more and more like your son, that would make us, Lord, Lord, obedient sheep. Lord, who only care about your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen.
Hymn number 516, Like a River Glorious. Stand with me if you would, please.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet.